One. Hey everybody, welcome to House Six, our movie podcast about movies and our journey through history's best pictures. We are on best picture number 10, and it is The Life of Emile Zola from 1937. So before we get into it, Jared,
How
just two
are we
more to
on 10
go.
and we're still on 37? Don't make sense.
We got news for you, Jared. It's next time we have a musical, and then
Oh,
the
great.
time after that we have a very long epic movie. So, all right. So before we get into it, we always like to start with
Oh,
our
shoot.
three-word summation of the movie we just watched that Michael just has to think up right now. So we won't start with him. We will start with Jared. What do you got for us, Jared?
I have two, and it's full circle.
All right. Thomas.
Close that window.
I'll go next, I guess. I'll go words as pictures.
Words as pictures.
We're never
Michael,
going to get a
you.
description, are we?
I forgot about that.
Three words, Michael. All you need
Three
is three or
words.
less, or less. It could be
Or
one. It could be one
less.
word.
What pops into your head when you think about this movie?
Prompts.
Writer painter trial. There
Okay,
you go.
we got it. All
Creative
right,
writing
so
101.
little background on the awards. The 10th Academy Awards were held March 10th, 1938, at the Los Angeles Biltmore Hotel and hosted by Bob Burns. Burns was a musical comedian who was famous for creating and playing an instrument he called the bazooka. In World War II, soldiers called their anti-tank rocket launchers bazooka. And since then, the name has stuck with the weapon. So just a little side trivia for there.
Stole it.
Check out our new channel, History of Weapons Names.
I got this. Let's do this.
The ceremony was originally scheduled for March 3rd, but was delayed by the 1938 Los Angeles flood, one of the largest floods in Southern California history. Luis Rainer, who we saw in the previous year in The Great Ziegfeld, was the first person to win two acting awards and to win them back to back. Unaware that winning back-to-back awards was possible, Rainer had to get dressed and run down to the venue to receive her award. A Day at the Races is the only Marx Brothers film to receive an Oscar nomination that year, when it was nominated for Best Dance Direction. The landmark feature-length animated film Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was only nominated for one Oscar, an oversight that the Academy acknowledged the next year when they awarded the film an honorary award. Disney's The Old Mill won the Best Animated Short. Director Miyazaki has called it his favorite Disney film. It's a good one. Do you guys remember that one? So
Which
like
one?
when The Old Mill. So it's the one where the storm hits like the old windmill and the animals are like hiding in it. It's got that famous shot where the birds like almost gets crushed by the gear, but it's in the broken. It's a good one. You guys should check
I'm
it
really trying to remember this one.
out. Little side tangent. My favorite Mickey Mouse one came from 1935. It's the band concert. So it's the one where like the tornado hits the band. That one wasn't even nominated, so I was sad. The Life of Emile Zola was the first film ever with 10 nominations, winning the year's most with three awards, and was second, and it was the second straight biographical film to win Best Picture. It was the first year every Best Picture nominee received multiple nominations. The original version of A Star Is Born was the first color film to be nominated for Best Picture. And Best Picture nominee Captain Courageous starred Spencer Tracy, who won that year for Best Actor. So, a little about the movie. The Life of Emile Zola was from Warner Brothers Pictures and was directed by William Dieterle. I said that wrong, but he can write me and tell me how to say it. And stars Paul Mooney. Mooney would be nominated for Best Actor five times and won for his role in The Story of Louis Pasteur as the title character. He's probably best known for as playing the title role in the original Scarface. The Life of Emile Zola was this, is the story of the French author and his involvement in the scandalous Dreyfus affair. The film production was marred by conflict by the film's producers, Henry Blanc and Hal B. Wallace, with arguments from everything from the story, film title, into the lead actress. The climactic courtroom scene, or the the courtroom scene was shot in one take, in one 6-minute take, but Wallace requested that cuts be thrown in to add the crowd. The film was a great financial success and was hailed as the best biopic film to that point. Modern critics have criticized the film for failing to address the anti-Semitism that was a key factor in the Dreyfus affair. So, before we get to the plot, we usually talk about the characters. This one has a lead character who kind of, we take a break from him and then we get another character that kind of takes over for a little bit. But so what did you guys think of the characters in this one? We'll start with the main character who was played by Paul Mooney. So what did you guys think of the title, Emile Zola?
Go for it.
So I like the progression of the character throughout the first like 30-40 minutes, I think. Kind of like that first, you know, you get introductory to him and his whole career basically. The opening scene was kind of weird though, because it seemed like it didn't fit throughout the rest of it. I was very impressed with the guy's acting though, because it seemed like he was each age that he portrayed. And I think black and white helps with aging, like the makeup and stuff, because it's a lot easier to age somebody and seem natural. With like color, it's like obvious that it's makeup. So I think he did a good job.
That's a good point.
True. I'm trying to go with that. You say anything?
I'm sorry. Last time I went first, Michael yelled at me, and I'm scared. So
I never yell at you a day in my life, Jared.
I think you yell at him every day in your life.
Yeah, I think I agree with what you said, Thomas. I liked him basically through the whole thing. His just kind of desire to tell the truth, I enjoyed a lot, and kind of that pushing that into telling stories. You kind of see it as it's coming through, but it's very satisfying when he first tells that one woman's story, and he like, you know, gets that selling. It's just that kind of like redemption story of someone who is downtrodden so badly but it happens very, very quickly. And then it kind of just, like you, Joseph said, skips the middle bit where we see the other people.
That book progression scene, I really like that one.
That was good.
The books just keep going, but it never reaches the end of it. I like that one.
Yeah, it's like, take a chill, go on a vacation, dude.
And they're all long, by the way.
He did write a long.
Yeah, they're all long.
He has like this series of 20 books. It's like, I think they call it a cycle. And it's just like 20 books of the same, like two families or something like that.
I was about to say, were they all like nonfiction books that he wrote, I'm assuming?
No, he wrote fiction,
too. He wrote fiction, but he also based a lot of it on the events that were happening. It's why he was criticized so much, because when people like read it, like, I thought this was a fiction book, and then he's like, it is fiction.
It's inspired by other things.
It's inspired by events. Yeah.
But no, yeah, I agree.
Kind of like the movie's opening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked his act. I thought that he did a really good job acting in his character arc through the whole thing. The beginning scene you guys talked about, like, was it just, where did you guys watch this?
YouTube.
Amazon.
YouTube. Amazon.
And then I watched on Apple. Was it just like really bad audio quality?
Yeah, the audio did like, not like, transfer well.
Like, I'm having so much trouble just understanding what they're saying. And then it finally cleared, like even just the quality of the film looked bad. And then it kind of cleared up after that scene and moved on. I don't know why, it just looked terrible and sounded terrible to me.
Well,
but
I even not purchased, but I rented on YouTube, and the audio quality throughout the whole movie was either okay or just terrible. So
I didn't really know.
I just got
that.
Used to it after the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, like parts of it were all right, but there are some times where I had to put on subtitles. I'm like, I don't know what he's saying. Like I'm really having some trouble. So
there was a lot of like that, what do you call it, that pop and crackle stuff in the audio, that's just kind of, I kind of like that old, in old movies. Yeah. It's just, it's kind of like listening to an old vinyl or something. You just kind of appreciate it. Jared, did you want to say anything about the main character?
I enjoyed his character when he was struggling, but like as when he was getting more rich and famous, I kind of lost endearment towards him, I guess.
You're
And I
just like
just
his
didn't,
friend.
and I just didn't really, yeah, I had to leave. Like, what's his name?
I'm gone,
Like,
dude.
dude, I gotta go to
Paul,
the
you're not fun
homeland.
anymore. You're not interesting. Peace.
That was a good line, though. I really like that line. It's like,
Yeah.
you left, or you left the struggling behind. I never left. I'm like,
Yeah.
that's a good line.
Yeah.
I stay with Paul.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I really like the character arc of his character and just the growth that you show or he shows. So that was cool. And then our other kind of main character is the Alfred Dreyfus, who of course is related to Richard Dreyfus. It's one of his descendants. So
What
what
the heck?
did you
Is that
guys
Dreyfus? It's Dreyfus.
yeah. Yeah. What did you guys think of his character?
So the letter scene where they get the intelligence leak, I really like that scene because it just shows the bureaucracy of what Zola was talking about, how it's just kind of, stagnant and people think that they're better than they are. And that one part where they're looking at, who they think is responsible. And he's like, "Oh, how did this guy become a member of the staff?" And I was like, "What is he talking about?" And as soon as he said Dreyfus, I'm like, "Oh no." And then on the ledger it says Jew. I'm like, "Oh
Yeah.
God. Okay." I did like his character and kind of crazy. He looks just like the guy. If you look at
Yeah.
pictures of Dreyfus, he looks just like him. Though I was surprised to see him all like white and everything else at the end of it, though. That was like a very drastic turn of appearance. So it was kind of cool though that we had that 40-minute introduction to Zola, and then almost we kind of just like leapt from him to somebody else, which I think was kind of cool. I was like, where's this going? So it's
Yeah.
kind of an interesting, very interesting way to tell the story.
And
Yeah, I don't know.
mentioning someone who doesn't look like him, like Zola on the, I don't know where you guys rented it, if they had the poster, but the poster, the actor doesn't look anything like Zola on the poster. So that was
Yeah, I
funny.
didn't pay attention to
It doesn't even look like the actor.
it. Nah.
But I was actually confused whenever they first started talking about the next section, whenever they're like, we need to find someone, basically blame this on or find the mole. And I was like, how the hell are they gonna make Zola the mole? Like, where are they going with this? And then you get introduced to the new character. It's we don't really I don't really feel like we get that much of him. You just realize he's kind of an honorable guy doing his job in 20 years of work, whatever, and then just gets dealt a one of the worst hands you probably could, and then is tortured for however many years he's tortured. But yeah, not much. I feel like to dive into his character, honestly, but did good acting, I thought. But
Kind of crazy is that that guy lived for a long time. He started in World War II or World War I, so
jeez,
he lived a long time. Go
Jared,
ahead, Jared.
I
Sorry.
agree with Michael. Didn't get much, but I enjoyed him as a character, but not much to say.
Yeah, he's kind of just this guy that's like too good to be true, I guess. He doesn't he's like this just honor-bound soldier guy that he's gonna stand up for what's right the whole time and is admirable, but you don't get much from his character other than he kind of, suffers for his convictions. Like Thomas said, they chose him, suffering in prison with the long hair and everything. What about other characters? There's not a lot of like fleshed out characters, but there's a lot of good parts.
I thought they would make more of his wife, but we didn't really get a lot of her. And she also didn't seem to age that much, by the way.
Of
Yeah.
Zola's wife?
Yeah. Which is funny because they introduce her in the first scene,
Yeah.
and but she's not his wife yet. But they don't really clarify that. And she's like the suitor. And then I did like that. It's like, I found you, or his mom's like, I found you a job. He's like, do you hear? A job.
Yeah.
What is it?
Wait,
I
what's the
can't be doing
job?
anything
Yeah.
here.
But I did like I think Jared's mentioned him, is it Paul, right?
Paul's his friend, yeah.
His suffering artist friend that he was roommates with. That was a really good character moment for him in Zola. So even though we don't really get to see much of him, that was a really good scene. So
any other characters?
Bits and pieces of them, but just really their moments rather than the actual character itself. But
yeah, I like the lawyer, the Zola's lawyer.
He was really good. He's kind of trying to call out the high, do whatever the judge was called.
Because you'd be really frustrated if you were going through that, and the judge kept saying, "No, I can't do that."
No, that deals with that.
Then there's the wife of Dreyfus. She had a pretty good scene in there.
Yeah, she was good.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into the plot. We start with the WB Shield, and it explains that this is a true story, even though some things have been changed and some names have been changed. We go to 1862, and we get a couple of poor artists in their little shack. They're really cold. Zola is really cold, so he's trying to plug up all the holes in the shack. And Paul's like, "You're never going to do it, man. We're going to be cold forever." and this kind of foreshadows things to come with him, you know, when they're like coughing because of the fire and stuff. And then Zola kind of explains like his, or they're explaining their art form where they want to, you know, show the stark face of truth. He doesn't want to sugarcoat things just to make money and stuff like that. Emile's mother comes in and she's got his lady friend with them. At first they think it's just someone to collect the rent. So they're like, "Hide in the bedroom." Tom, you're really, really sick. Like Thomas said, the mom has got him a job, and it's with a publishing company. So that's kind of perfect for a writer. So we go and he's working there, but we find out he still has no money. He's getting advances on his paycheck. His wife says the butcher's not going to give him any more food. He goes and he talks to his boss, and they tell him, you know, "You're a troublemaker." Did the cops visit him? I think the cops visited him.
It was
him,
someone
right?
From the cop.
It's like place. It's like the authorities. Censorship. Yeah, censorship board. Yeah.
And they're like, "You written this offensive book. You know, you're a troublemaker. We don't want you to do that anymore." And Zola, or the boss, tells Zola, like, "Hey, you got to stop it. I'm going to keep you on, but, you know, you get one more chance." And Zola's like, "Hey, I don't think so. I'm out of here. I'm leaving.
You're a fat little jerk, and I'm leaving."
So he's like, takes his 50 cents and he gets out of there.
I did like how he quit. He's like, "Thank you for giving me this opportunity to write more. I appreciate it."
So he's unemployed again. He's walking. He sees a woman jump into the river. And he's like, "Hey, well, shouldn't we save her?" And the guy tells him, like, "She's no better than us sleeping on this, you know, street." So we get kind of this montage of there was like a mining accident or this.
That was a cool shot, by the way, where it comes from the flap of whatever it was.
Canvas, that was good.
And then
yeah.
It comes out and it's the mining shaft. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And really good transitions in this.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Why?" Yeah, they did. Oh, he's like, "Why weren't the safety doors closed?" And they're like, "Safety doors? We don't have safety doors."
Then that cop's like, "Get out of here,
OSHA."
Safety.
He tries to sell some more articles and stuff, and the guy is like, "We can't buy this. They'll give you 10 francs for it." So he gets 10 francs. We see a woman on the run. We kind of figure that these are some ladies of the night running from the police. And she runs into a restaurant. And before they can kick her out, Zola and his friend are there. And they're like, "Hey, come sit with us and order food with us." And so she kind of tells Zola her story. They go back to his place. And she kind of explains what's happened to her and how she can't go back home. And this gives Zola an idea for a book, and he writes it, and it's called Nana, and it's a great success. He doesn't believe it at first because he goes to his boss and he's like, "Hey, can I get some more money?"
This is actually one of my favorite scenes in the book, or in the movie, sorry.
It was funny.
Is when he comes up to the the bookseller, and the bookseller's like, or he's like, can I just have like 2 francs? I'm sure it will sell well. He's like, it'll sell well.
I know.
I was like, are you sure? He's like, oh, it sold 36,000 copies. He's like, could I still have a few francs to buy an umbrella?
I don't want to get wet again.
I do like when he goes out to the umbrella store. I'll take a dozen. No. I'll just take one. I'm an idiot.
Like how the umbrella does the same exact thing.
Yeah, the same thing. Well, okay. I also did like when he went up to the umbrella salesman came up to him first. He's like, do you want a new one? He's like, you would deprive me of an old friend. So that's a great line.
But yeah, I did like that where he was like, oh, Mr. Zola wants a favor.
But I really like that scene.
So the book is a success, and we see that he sends the book to the woman that he based it on, and he puts some money in there. And this was a cool transition. I like this one because she's looking at it, and then there's shouts of war on the street. So they're at war with the Prussians.
Franco-Prussian War.
Yeah, and they
a very underrated subject of history, by the way. Same.
So Zola and his like social group are talking about the war, and they're like, you know, they criticizing it, and Zola is criticizing it, and that kind of gives him an idea for a war book. What was it called? The Fall or something?
The Downfall.
The Downfall. There you go. So he writes that, and then it circulates to like the army, and they're not too happy with it.
I like the general staff. He's like, "Have you read this book?" "Book? I don't read books. I don't have time for that."
Yeah. So. And one of them's, "Hey, I can understand where he's coming from. We kind of made some mistakes." And the guy's like, "The army doesn't make mistakes." The army
doesn't make mistakes.
So they're not too happy with it. So they send the chief censor on him. So he's got to go meet with this chief censor. And he's like, hey, you can't be writing this stuff. And he's like, you know, you can't censor me. I'll write what I want to write. And he does. He writes a ton of books. And like Thomas said, we see this kind of shot where all these books just start lining up. And it's all the ones he's written.
Calm down, sir.
So he's a success. They're having fun. They're eating with Paul. And they're like, this is just like old times. And Paul's not so sure about that. And he tells him that an artist should remain poor for the sake of the art and for the truth. Because he doesn't think that Zola.
Like how Zola's like, look at this cool thing I got. Look at this cool thing I got. And he's like, dude, you're fat now. And you're.
Yeah.
But so I feel like Zola, he's like.
Yeah, he's like, oh, God. Don't look at that.
So he questions Zola's artistic integrity now that he's rich and famous. Okay, so then we move on to the subplot where there is some stolen correspondence going on. Basically, there was a military attaché for the Germans, right? So they're like trading secrets. And we see that the secrets get stolen out of a mailbox. So it happens.
The 120 millimeter gun.
Yeah.
As I keep saying over and over again.
So we find out that there's a traitor in the military, someone that's been leaking documents and strategies. So they've discovered that there is this traitor from the letter. So they think it's coming from the office of the, what is it, like the secretaries or whatever. So they're like, let's look at the staffing for this, and we can try to figure out who this is. And they go through the names, and they pick out this one guy, and he's like, that guy's interesting, because he's not French. He's from somewhere else.
Hungarian,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And another guy's, oh, we can't do anything about that. He's like the son of a rich guy and stuff like that. So they can't pick him, but they can pick this guy, Alfred Dreyfus, who happens to be Jewish. It's like the only thing listed under his name. So they're like, hey, that's our man right there. So we meet Captain Dreyfus. He's over there playing with his kids and having a good time.
That kid was loud, by the way. I'm just saying.
The kid?
Yeah, he's like, because he's playing like with those army toys. He's like, here comes the barrage. And the captain's like, yeah.
And then they give Dreyfus summons to come meet him, and then he's got to wear his civilian clothes, and the wife kind of feels that's kind of weird, and it's early in the morning, so why would they be doing that? And he's like, ah, it'll be fine, everything will be fine. So he heads down to a base or whatever, I don't know what it is. He heads down to his superiors, and he's in his civilian clothes, and he's got a cane, and he's there. This was kind of a funny shot, or not a funny shot, a funny scene, because everyone's like, oh, he's here, he's coming.
Yeah.
So
even when they're getting the room ready, the guy's like,
and they like hide like it's a birthday party or something. Yeah. So it's like they're gonna surprise him or something. So they bring him in, and the guy has him take dictation for him, and he's kind of writing the letter that was leaked, and he's like, you're under arrest for being a traitor. And he's like, what? He's like, I'm innocent, I didn't do anything, I've always been loyal, a loyal soldier. And they're like, take him away. Well, they give him the option to off himself. And he's like, no, I'm going to prove my innocence. So they take him away. They search his house, and they find him guilty. There's like very little evidence, but they just go ahead and find him guilty. Meanwhile, we meet our old friend Zola, and he's riding a bike around Paris, and he's getting lobster.
I'm sorry, but that lobster was dead, Zola. Like, that was not a fresh lobster. That
he smelled
dead.
The lobster, man. He smelled
it. Oh, then he forces other people here. Smell.
They see a mob saying they're pretty much want to kill Dreyfus. Forget, due process or anything like that. Dreyfus is stripped of his rank, so they tear off all his medals and stripes and stuff like that off his uniform. And then Zola, we go to another scene with Zola. He's being like pampered, he's sick, he's got a headache, and they're like pampering him and washing his feet and stuff. It's weird. He's very rich now. Dreyfus's wife visits him in prison. She's sad because they're gonna send him away. He's been exiled to Devil's Island. And she's like, just let me touch you, man. And they're like, no, we have our orders. So they send her away. So Zola gets a visit from... Oh, wait, I'm skipping ahead a little fast. They send him to Devil's Island, and 3 years passes. And we find out that this other guy, I forget his name, he's like a colonel, and he's now in charge of information or whatever. And he discovers that there's a real traitor, that it was that one foreign guy. And, he goes to his boss and he's like, hey, this is the real traitor. But the boss is like, hey, this is closed. We already dealt with this. We're not opening this again. Zola gets a visit from his friend. It's not Paul, it's a different friend. He's got like the long white beard. And the he's like telling him, he's telling him about how Dreyfus did not look guilty when he was charged. And he says, and when they were taking him away, he's yelling like, I'm innocent, I'm innocent. So the friend tells Zola this. And
He also kept saying, Vive la France, which is like, long live France. And so he's like, why would someone who's a traitor keep saying that?
And he tells Zola, I like this line. He tells Zola, he says, you can't close the tomb on a living man. But Zola's just like, I've lived my life, I've done my suffering, I just want to live in comfort now. The foreign guy is declared innocent by the military because they're kind of trying to close the lid on this. They don't want anything to get out. So they declare that guy innocent. Zola gets news from the Academy of Arts from France that he's going to be inducted into their little club. So he's happy about that. But then he gets a visit from Madame Dreyfus, who comes, and she's got the evidence from the colonel guy. And she's like, hey, look at this. Can you do something about this? You should take up his cause. And again, he's like, I'm going to be in the academy now. You know, I'm rich. I'm comfortable. I've done my suffering. I don't want to deal with this. So we get this scene where he like looks at the letter and then he looks like at all the stuff, evidence she brought him. And he's like, he kind of changes his mind. And so the next scene is kind of this meeting of the press, and Zola comes in and he's like, I'm going to explode a bomb. So I'm going to prove his innocence. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to write this open letter. And I'm going to accuse the military of wrongdoing. And, you know, they're going to put me on trial for libel. So that's exactly what happens. The military guy says he's got special work for the underling. So they're going to just fix it. So the public is totally against Zola. They always come with this. What do they say? Put Zola away. Something like they always chanting death to Zola or something like that.
Yeah. The mob was kind of hard to make out because the audio. Yeah, so all I could think of was, all I could hear was Zola. Zola. I'm like,
I was like, they're angry. Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what they're saying. It's like death to Zola or something. Hang Zola or something like that. And then there's book burnings. They start burning all of Zola's books and articles. They try to get him in the street because they see him and hey, that's the guy, so he's gotta run away. And we get to the trial, and then they give him the signal, which is to like start heckling Zola while he's on walking in the court and walking out. There's a scene where we see Madame Dreyfus, she gets a letter from her husband, he gets a letter from her and it's all censored so he can barely read it, but she's still thinking about him and they're on this trial trying to prove his innocence. She takes the stand, but they don't even let her talk. The judge, the president of the court, I guess they call him. Every time they're like, try to ask her a question, he's like, you can't ask that because it has to do with the Dreyfus trial and we're done with that. So it's very frustrating. The captain gives his testimony, they say they have a secret document. The military's got this secret document that proves that Dreyfus is guilty. But their lawyer asks, like, can we see this? We're not going through with this trial until we see this document. But the military does not want to show this document. Court is adjourned because the lawyer just lights up the judge. He's like, you know, everything I try you just squash. You know, you're not letting us talk at all, you're not letting us defend him. And the judges kind of just run away. They're like, court adjourned, let's get out of here. We see rain falling on Paris, you know, the famous shot of Parisians and their umbrellas in the streets. And then Zola, it's time to give his testimony, so he gives this impassioned speech. But it doesn't work because he's still found guilty. And he calls them cannibals. It was funny. So he's with his lawyers and they tell him, hey, you got to get out of France, man. You got to go to England. And he's like, no, I should probably stay and do the right thing and serve my sentence. Because he was sentenced to like 1 year. Was it 1 year?
Yeah.
And they tell him, you know, sometimes it's more courageous to be cowardly. So he takes off for England. And then there's a little bit of a change of the guard for the military in France. There's a new, I think he's a minister of war or something like that. And he's kind of cleaning up the military. And he tells them, you know, like you, he confronts the Captain Henry guy. And he's like, you know, you forged this. I know you forged this. And he's like, I'm not admitting it. And then finally he does. He admits that he did forge the documents. And then he tells the military guys, you know, there's no room for you in France anymore, for people like you. a little girl wakes Zola up in the morning, a little English girl, and he's like all sick and cold. And he tells her, "You cold-blooded English are going to be the death of me." I thought that was funny.
Also, like, we could definitely tell we're in London when, like, the newspaper's like, "Oi,
yeah,
no lie in England."
And then his friend comes in with the newspapers, and he's like, "Hey, it's good news. You know, the military has been found to be guilty of all this stuff. Dreyfus is going to be released." They tell him. And he's got like the long hair, and he's like old scrawny looking. Zola's taking the train home with his friends, and we get a shot of him and his wife, and he's still working. He's got like new, he, you know, after this, he's just like on fire to right the wrongs of society and stuff like that. So he's very impassioned to still work. Sadly, though, there's a malfunction with the fireplace, and we see him coughing a lot because it's not leaving the building, and he's getting all this carbon monoxide in there, and he dies mid-sentence. Dreyfus is acquitted. We see that, and he's reinstated, and they're at the ceremony, and you know, they congratulate him, and, you know, they give him a reward. We get Zola's funeral. Oh, before that, Dreyfus is like, hey, where's Zola? I thought he was going to be here. And they're like, and then this newspaper.
Some kid's like, oi!
Yeah. This newspaper ran from England, and he's like, Zola's dead. So we get Zola's funeral at the end. And it talks about, you know, the truth and stuff like that. And that is the end of the movie. So, that was a lot of talking. So, I'm going to let you guys take over and tell me what you thought of the overall movie. So, go ahead, Jared.
Okay. I like the beginning, like the first 30 minutes. I like the message of the movie, but I was checking out of this movie quite often. Like I said, after that 30-minute mark, I just didn't connect with Zola. Didn't really care after that point. And I just kind of lost interest. So this hasn't been my favorite movie, but I do like the message of it, and I did enjoy the first like 30 minutes of it. So I'll pass it to Michael.
I started off in that sense to where the movie started, and I was like, oh, I like these characters, I like what we're doing, da, da, da. But then I feel like the beginning of the middle of the movie, I was so bored. I was like it just kind of felt meandering. I was like, what is the point? Like, we're skipping away to this other guy, and I didn't really know what, you know, the future held for Drive Survivor. So I'm like, I don't care about what the heck's going on, get a bunch of corrupt people, whatever. Then it kind of came full circle and brought everyone together, and I was like, okay, I'm back in on this movie. And maybe I'm just like a shoe-in for like court movies, but I get so tense, and I love the speeches, and I love all the people trying to stick it to them and everything. So I got really into this movie in the end. Definitely think it picked up a lot. It just needed, I think, just a little bit of cleaning up in the middle. I'm just like, they brushed through his career really fast, and it kind of got, got to be meandering. They honestly could have started with Dreyfus getting arrested and then go from there and go straight into the trial. And then you kind of get this, maybe like a quick backstory of who Zola is. But the beginning felt like almost like a different movie or like some prequel or something that we didn't need to see for the actual meaning of this story and everything. Because it's kind of like, oh, this guy got successful, we're going to move away from him, and then we'll come back later. And it could have just been like, oh, this really successful writer who likes to tell the truth is brought back into his, you know, passions and desires to tell the truth for this case. Could have been easier, shorter movie and more to the point. But that was my only complaint, really. Like, I think performances were great. I love the tension in the courtroom scenes, especially like with him. Like, we're not talking about the driver's trial. That's not allowed here. We're going to stop. Just every 5 seconds. So frustrating, but it just gives you that satisfaction, I guess, after the court, whenever everyone gets acquitted in the end. But I really liked the pace, like I said, the second half of the movie. And then, like Jared said, the meaning of the movie was really, really important. And it's just, it's, it's, it just deals with that just like sleaziness of like the that interesting idea of like the military being perfect. I feel like that's such an interesting topic of them being like, no, we can't tarnish the people who fight for us because they have that shield going for them and everything. I don't know, it's a very interesting topic, and I thought the movie handled it really interestingly, because man, how do I put that kind of difficulty of him like that journalistic guy who a lot of people, if someone like that today would come out, you'd be like, oh, the crazy, you know, dude trying to spout, I'm gonna say the word conspiracy theories, but in this case, and this man is actually like, you know, I've looked at the evidence, I've seen it, and dude, he's right, and it's just this corrupt military organization and everything. I don't know, I feel like they handled it really well, and it's very interesting to watch. But yeah, I don't know how, I don't know much more on that, but yeah, good shots. Good, like we talk about good transitions. I feel like the movie was shot really well. Just needed a little cleaning up pace wise in the beginning, and I would have been real on this movie. But yeah, thought it was really good.
Thomas?
I was happy with the pace. I think it was like an hour and 15 minutes, I think, something like that.
Somewhere in there.
Wasn't bored, was pretty hooked on whatever somebody was talking, I was pretty much hooked in. I like the prequel basically that we get in the first 30 to 40 minutes, because it kind of sets up Zola and basically his background and character and who he was. I think that if we didn't have that, we wouldn't quite have an understanding of who he was. And so just to see where he came from, and just how also the beginning part also shows the destitute that France is at this point. Cause this is during this is right after Napoleon died. And this is like the second or third republic. I forgot which one it
third
was.
Third republic.
Is it third republic?
Yeah. Cause they mention it.
Yeah. And this is just the government of France is crazy. Like ever since the revolution happened, it's always been just like, okay, cool. What's it like today? And just to see how he basically bucked against people who were taking advantage of, you know, basically no, there was nobody else to lead. So the military took over for a long time, and that was pretty much, oh yeah, the military is the government. We can't do anything wrong. So it's very interesting to see how he was able to criticize the ruling power without basically being erased, which, you know, just like black hooded and taken away. I think mostly because he was such a good writer, and a lot of people just really enjoyed his writings. And I think that this kind of gets across the charm of Zola and his writing. So I was really happy with this movie. I really enjoyed it. More so than some of the other ones we watched. But yeah, good movie.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it too. Like Tommy said, I didn't think it was boring at any parts. I love this movie for the dialogue and for the writing. I thought Zola had a lot of good lines in it. He keeps like repeating how the truth is gonna keep like rolling through, like on a train or something like that. I really enjoyed that. It's probably has a lot to do with like the times we're living in, where it just feels like there's no justice and a lot of
corrupt. I did like when the censor comes in for the first time. I was just like, oh look, I'm getting flashbacks of 2020 where nobody could say anything against, you know, true, the ruling power. It's like, oh, it's just repeating again.
Yeah, so it's nice to see where, because we live in a world where like the corrupts get away with everything. So it's nice to see stories like this where, you know, justice finally gets the win every once in a while. So if not much for, I mean, there's no like shots. There's not really many shots that jump out to me. But it's just the dialogue and the writing on this movie was really good. And, you know, it could maybe, like Michael said, it could be cleaned up at some parts. I'm a big sucker for transitions, though. Like when they're like, hey, over here, there's something going on. I love that kind of stuff. So I like that. But yeah, it's not probably the best movie we've seen, but I really enjoyed it and thought it was a worthwhile watch, especially, you know, for people who like history and stuff like that. definitely check it out. I would recommend watching this one. So, any last thoughts on the life of Emile Zola? No.
Was he murdered?
Was he murdered? Yeah. Go check our video on That's Weird Stuff and see if we thought he was murdered or not. So
the answers might shock you.
So our next movie comes from 1938, and it's You Can't Take It With You. So we will see you for that one.
Watch me.
Just watch and let come back and watch Jared cry.
Yeah, Jared, we're almost there. We promise.
We're never getting there.
Like, subscribe, and notify yourself for even more good stuff to come. And we will see you next time. Bye.